Hello and welcome to the Red Leaf Card, your home for Canadian soccer news and views. My name is Jacob and we have a special guest on our show, and he's Thomas Hewitt and he's from the 13th Man Sports. Nice to having you, Thomas.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Jacob.
So talk about the 13th Man Sports.
Well, it is a website that started as a CFL site, but gradually has turned more into a CPL and soccer-focused website. I cover York United on there. We have someone who covers Forge. There's also another podcast, the FC13 podcast. Some people might have heard of it. So, yeah.
So I guess it's really growing out there. Has been going to any other teams out there?
Well, we've tried at points. We have a couple people based in Ottawa, but we'll see. I'm not the one. I'm not the one in charge. So, there is occasionally, you know, Atletico Ottawa. There'll be other stuff like league wide stuff on there too.
Yeah, I see that. Now we're seeing a lot of the growth of Canadian soccer out there. Now you have your first division Canadian Soccer League with the Canadian Premier League, and it's vastly growing. And now we have Canada hosting 2026 for the World Cup.
Yeah. The growth recently has been exponential. And I mean, you see that reflected in the national team. You see that reflected in the growth of the CPL recently, you know, an all time high for attendance. That's pretty remarkable. And if you look at just this year's final in Hamilton, you know, 2 years ago, the final was also in Hamilton and it was completely different. Only one side was open. They didn't even sell out that side of the stadium. This year, you had the entire lower bowl open. Almost 14,000 people, you know, much better branding, I think quality on the field. It's really exciting. And I think year by year, it's going to get better, which means in 2026, I mean, it could be, the CPL could be like exponentially better than it is now, which is crazy to think about given how far it's come.
Yeah. All the teams in the CPL, you even mentioned about the national teams. Forge FC that played in the Tim Hortons field. Actually, the national team for the men's, Canada versus USA, also played there. And now we're seeing the Halifax Wanderers, which is the Wanderers grounds. And they had Canada versus Brazil for the women's.
Yeah. And also, you know, on Vancouver Island, they're hosting an upcoming game, Canada versus Australia, which is exciting. It's good to see the national teams kind of, you know, taking advantage of the benefits of CPL, which, you know, more stadiums, more infrastructure, more interest. And if they keep going to those markets, I'm sure there's some way to cross promote and have people who would only go for the national team start going to the CPL too. So it's very promising. Hopefully Halifax has a new stadium on the way soon. I think we'll find out by the end of the year, but, you're totally right. The national team playing in CPL stadiums is just huge for the league.
Yeah, it's great. Even maybe one day we might see an IG field someday in Winnipeg.
I hope so. I think it would be it'd be tough to find a good time for it because it's usually either like really cold or really hot in Winnipeg. But hopefully, you know, there's some way they can figure out to have a game there because they do have great fans in Winnipeg. The team has let them down a bit, but hopefully if they get more competitive, the fans will start showing up again.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Canadian Premier League finals, how it really went. It was one of the best, I would say, to it, but couldn't witness it. I had to watch like some parts of it, but all those goals in the extra minutes.
I mean, it was pretty flat for 90 minutes. I wouldn't say it was particularly exciting. It felt like a final. You know, both teams were very hesitant in every movement, trying not to make a mistake. It felt destined for extra time from the start of the game. I think it was one of those times where you could just see both teams kind of playing just to get to extra time. Four try the goal disallowed, obviously. Cavalry really put their foot on the gas in the second half, started to get a lot more chances. And Tristan Henry was the guy for Forge. I think that, you know, Tristan Borges won player of the match, obviously, with that crazy Olympico, but Tristan Henry, in many ways, just helped, was the key factor to that being a situation that could even happen. So it was very well done by Forge. Great team performance by them, and Cavalry not far off from winning either. And all those goals in extra time, just not even an all-time Canadian Premier League final, just an all-time final.
Yeah, even it shook the whole social media. Even TSN had to even show it, and all the fans be like, "Oh, look
Yeah.
who showed up."
Exactly. It's they finally came to the party. They were invited, didn't come for a long time, but hopefully this is a sign of the major broadcasters starting to take note and starting to show games a bit more.
Yeah, even for example, we get a lot of support on for CBS.
Yeah, that was very exciting. They definitely have figured out they're gonna get a lot of interaction whenever they do that. So I'm sure that's kind of why they keep doing it. But I got the chance to meet Alexis from CBS. He is awesome. That was his first CPL game. He really enjoyed it. So I think in the future we can see more from them. What I love actually is how CBS gives it a spotlight. They don't even show the games. It's Fox Soccer Plus who has the rights in the USA. So I think it's amazing that they gave some support to the league, and hopefully the people who have Fox Soccer Plus tuned in, and if they did, they got one heck of a show.
Yeah, it was one of the biggest shows out there, and Forge winning that 2023 CPL finals, and who goes with them is the ones that they were the runner-ups, Calvary FC.
And come February 2024, it's going to be a really interesting way to see how far the CPL truly has come, because the league getting better within itself is its own thing. But if they can do it on the continental stage, that's something else entirely. And that's something I am confident that Cavalry and Forge can both win a round. I think Forge could even win a couple rounds. We'll see who they get. It's going to be interesting how weather plays a factor, because both teams are going to be going from a pretty warm climate down south, unless they draw like the Columbus Crew, and then going back to like frigid and snowing Spruce Meadows or an equally cold Hamilton. So I'm very curious to see how that plays out, how the Canadian teams can use that to their advantage, and maybe that's how CPL teams win a couple rounds and surprise the region of CONCACAF.
Yeah, even it really brings in some popularity for the Canadian Premier League, and seeing how the how more fans will be more attracted versus major league soccer teams out there. You have, for example, I think most likely might you have Inter Miami
Yeah.
there. Well, basically, they won't be versing them in the first round since they have the advantage. And you
Yeah.
have a lot, and you have Liga MX teams, but mostly you're going to be versing Major League Soccer teams out there. And also, even Central American teams, even for the Caribbean.
Yeah, there's I believe 9 MLS teams, which is pretty insane. Six from Liga MX, six from Central America, and I believe there's three from the Caribbean. So the CPL, I think in the first round they're going to get those Central American Caribbean teams. maybe a couple MLS teams go in that first round, but the chance to play Lionel Messi, and Inter Miami, Sergio Busquets, Jordi Alba, potentially Luis Suarez if he joins, would be huge. I think this tournament, given the amount of stars kind of coming to CONCACAF with Inter Miami and other CPL team, other MLS teams, you look at Columbus with a guy like Cucho Hernandez, who's a big star. It provides a huge opportunity for media to really take notice of the CPL, and especially if they make an upset.
Yeah, it's going to be a big for Canada out there. Maybe if Calgary FC has Inter Miami and they make it to the next round versus Inter Miami, you're going to see some sold out. But if it's the question, will Leo Messi play?
Yeah, I've got to imagine that he doesn't make the trip to Calgary, but I could definitely see him playing them at the reverse leg in Miami. Even if it's not in Canada, even if a CPL team plays him, it would be just yeah, it'd just be huge and total dream scenario for the CPL. Even if they lose by a lot, having that opportunity, having that platform, is so important going forward for the league.
Well, to be honest, if Valor FC fans were dreaming of going to being them, they would be selling out the whole thing.
For sure. Winnipeg, they have a great stadium, not the best turf, as I've heard, but a amazing stadium. And I mean, you look at the set of fans that the Blue Bombers has. If Valor had like even half of that and they went to their games, they'd be much more of an atmosphere because the Winnipeg stadium is built to kind of keep noise in, and the Blue Bombers have really loud fans. So if Valor can find a way for that to translate over to soccer, they'll need to be more competitive, but for sure, yeah, amazing stadium. And if Messi was to come up here, you might hope that there are bigger stadiums for more revenue, like Tim Hortons Field, for example, 28,000. Spruce Meadows only has, they can only hold about 5,000, I think. So maybe not the best for the league revenue wise.
But if Regina had a team, that would be a great area.
I would love that. I would try to get there to a game at their Mosaic Stadium, which is definitely beautiful. We do need a team in Saskatchewan, anywhere in Saskatchewan pretty soon. I think that's an essential.
Yeah, and let's talk about the Mark Noonan, who had a media release of something that some people might consider what's going to be the future for the Canadian soccer, for the Canadian Premier League. He mentioned some things that we will talk about after, which is he did talk about the expansion teams. We already know that 2024 season will not have any expansion teams, but he did say 2025. 2026, we might have two expansion teams for each.
Yeah, what also kind of caught my eye is how he said there are 15 NDAs. So we might not even be talking about 2 and 25, 2 and 26. Like beyond that, we're talking maybe at some point 20 teams involved in the Canadian Premier League in some way, which could be a lot sooner than I think we would have expected. It's really promising. My question mostly is, where are those teams going to be? I've got to imagine one of the teams he's talking about is the old CPL commissioner David Klanikin's team in Windsor. I'm sure there's a lot of interest within Ontario, but the league right now, they're trying to spread it out coast to coast. So I think for 2024, you've got to, touch on the elephant in the room, which is not having a Quebec team. That's got to be done as or 2025, sorry. Having a Quebec team in 2025, it's essential that they have that because, I mean, let's be honest, if you want to make a truly Canadian league, leaving out Quebec is just it just doesn't feel right. So that they'll definitely do that. I'm sure they would like to have Edmonton back as a market if they had a better ownership group, better marketing. That could actually be a success. The city of Hudson's Bay is from. It obviously has potential. You saw that when Canada played a couple games there in World Cup qualifying. So it's very promising. There's only so many markets in this country that could potentially support a team. So it'll be interesting to see for the two teams in 2025, that's a bit more simple, probably Quebec, maybe another one in Ontario. For 2026, you know, do they go more in the prairies? Do they add another team out east? That, for me, will be the most interesting group of expansion teams to watch.
Yeah, even you mentioned Windsor of former Commissioner David Kyliken. I know he's partnering with a former, I think he's a former owner of the TFC Windsor, which is now Windsor City.
Yeah, I believe so.
So they were deciding to try to have it at Windsor Stadium. That's what I've heard, but I think that's might not be a possibility into that, and they're trying to find it at a somewhere else that I've heard.
Yeah, I think there might have been talks of building a new stadium. I think there are some renderings online that you can that are, you know, available of a potential new stadium. Personally, I would hope that that's the case. I think it's good for the CPL if they have bigger stadiums because, you know, realistically, Halifax is a bit more of a unique case, but you don't want every team playing in temporary grounds. I think you'd prefer genuine permanent stadiums in that city, and soccer, you know, permanent soccer fields. Natural grass is ideal, obviously, but most of these teams gonna have turf for a while in this league. But we'll see. I hope that the renderings that they created, if a team is actually confirmed, I feel like when the CPL's things with expansion teams is they need to have, after the fallout of the Saskatoon dilemma, I think they need to, they're only going to grant expansion teams where there is a stadium plan set in stone. So I feel like Windsor, if they actually present that to the city and say, like, we'll have a team if we just build a stadium, will be quite convincing that they'll get one.
So now, even you also Quebec, for that, it's really kind of tricky to try to get a team in Quebec. That's what I've usually heard. And even there was always the trying to make a person that who was really interested. He was, I keep forgetting his name, but he was part of the, he was one of the eight coaches to be part of this project for the Canadian Premier League. And he was supposed to be the one for the Quebec team, and the whole pandemic actually ruined the whole project of it.
Yeah, the pandemic was definitely rough for the CPL. It's a bit of a miracle that they actually made it through it and had a season in 2020. But in the long term, it definitely probably put the league's progress for like fans and teams on the back burner a bit, but we're starting to see that that energy of the inaugural season kind of come back now. Quebec City, I feel like, is more likely than Montreal because I think the CPL looks at York just outside Toronto. Maybe the attendance just hasn't been there. In Vancouver, it's inaugural season, so they get a bit of a pass, but it's not as much as you'd hope for. So I feel like they might try to going into a vacant market in Quebec City more likely than going into Laval or Saint Laurent or any place around the Montreal area.
Well, I think there's still I think Montreal could still support another team, but it's which area of Montreal could do it and which has the fan base to support it. And
yeah.
And to be honest, Quebec City, there's not even a professional team. They've always wanted a hockey team for the NHL. And it's always been a big market to try to bring a professional team. I think that if you brought in a Canadian soccer team, I think that would be a good market.
Yeah, I think, you do make a good point about Montreal, because now that I think about it, the fans have had a bit of a tough time dealing with their ownership recently, and I feel like, maybe it is time, if the CPL goes in there, new club, rejuvenated fans maybe go there, that fans that are sick and tired of the of Joey Saputo and CF Montreal. I think we saw that a bit this season with York TFC struggles, brought an influx of fans to York United, and York United did good well, and the fans did a good job of, putting the word out there that there is another team that is, in the midst of the best season in club history. Obviously, it was 2023 for York United. So I think if there ever was a good time to put in the team in Montreal, it would be now. But I think it would be good to for the CPL to put a team in Quebec City and say, like, soccer in Quebec City is the CPL. Like, soccer in Halifax is the Wander is the CPL. Soccer in Calgary is the CPL. I think it would be good to go into their own markets like that.
And you even look at Halifax. You look at Halifax, for example. Perfect. It was really perfect when they had their team. It was thriving to try to get a sports team there, and they're sport fanatics.
For sure. I think not even the CPL's wildest dreams could they have expected Halifax to become this far so quickly. And it's great that their team wins now. If their team wasn't winning, a guy on Twitter from a ways, HFX, his name's Gary, he wrote an article about how Halifax came back to life, like the Wanderers came back to life, the fans came back to life this year. And it was a really good reminder that in 2022, fans were getting tired. It was a bad product on the pitch. Nothing was going to play, and then Patrice Guijar comes in, completely changes this team, and all of a sudden they're competitive and the fans are back, and it's just something that you love to see. I'd love to see Halifax succeed.
Some people call it the Wanderers.
Yes, yeah, especially when they played a Canadian championship game at York Line Stadium. It rang true a lot. Patrice Guijar once talked in press conference after a match at York. This is like his home game away from home, because he's got all his family there, friends there, all the players do, your Ferrazzo's, Ferens, all those guys. So yeah, it is a fitting nickname.
And also, you mentioned like all those groups of trying to make a team for the Canadian Premier League, and that and you said it's a lot down there. So if there was a lot about it, and even the commissioner Mark Noonan mentioned a lot about the League One Canada, that could there be some of the teams having a better potential to move to another level? And he mentioned that League One Canada is a third division league, and he said the future could be second division, question mark.
I mean, I think marketing coming from MLS, he's going to take a lot of pages out of their book. The history of MLS expansion is not defined by people coming and getting their own team. A lot of it has been markets that prove themselves in the USL, and then they get a team in MLS. Cincinnati, St. Louis, and now San Diego, proving themselves as football markets within the USL, making the step to MLS, and it goes well. So I'd imagine the CPL, they look at some of these teams. I would say Simcoe County Rovers especially is a big one. 5, 10 years down the road, you graduate them to CPL, and it's not promotion and relegation at all, but it is a system where teams can ascend the pyramid if they prove themselves. I think Simcoe County Rovers have did it. They have ambitious ownership. I feel like they would be the first team to make that jump. But you see, League One BC has some very successful teams, and maybe they're another league to look at that with teams going from League One to the CPL. I feel like that's an organic pipeline of soccer growing in Canada. And I would love to see success stories from League One in the CPL.
Well, we always heard about some history about these teams. TSS Rovers is one of them. Victoria Highlanders is one of them. They played in USL. And
yeah,
now I could bring up one other team, League One Quebec, CS Saint-Laurent.
Yeah, there have been a lot of rumors about CS Saint-Laurent. And, you know, I've heard some people saying that there's already like a deal that they're going to be in the CPL in a couple of years. I don't know how much I believe it. I feel like they're going to need some more infrastructure, some more time, but I believe they just won Ligue 1 Quebec again, which was, you know, another, if they continue to, because they were in the Canadian Championship a couple of years ago for winning that league, if they continue to win, you know, it's not just about fan base. If you're too good for League 1, because of the coach, because of the, you know, scouting department or however they find their players, that's another indicator of maybe you make the jump to the CPL. So Saint Laurent, definitely. TSS Rovers, we'll see. I'm not as confident about a fan-owned team covering, you know, the cost of a CPL club than and a League One club, because, you know, those flights from Vancouver to Halifax, that's, you know, that's going to be a lot of cash you got to put in. So we'll definitely see, but I would love TSS Rovers in the CPL. That would be such a cool vibe and such a cool team to have. But I feel like that would be a bit less likely than say Saint-Laurent.
And also mentioned League One Alberta is going to have their first season. Right now they have 5 teams, but still hoping that they're going to get more teams onto there. And League One BC just already announced for getting more teams. That's also another thing that they've also announced. So I think that League One BC is a good market to bring in more teams. And now we're seeing even the commissioner, Mark Noonan, talk about Dino Rossi and how League One Canada is. They're now bringing in to League One Atlantic and the Prairies.
Yeah, Dino Rossi is like exceptional guy for the Canadian soccer world. The way he's built up League One in the last couple of years and the next couple of years alone, it is insane. Having the Maritimes is a real possibility 2 years from now, because I believe he and a bunch of people from League One went out to the Atlantic and had a very successful meeting there, was what they said. And then the Prairies is another huge opportunity. And especially for the CPL, I could imagine that they would be pushing on League One to open up in the Prairies and more in the Atlantic, more than just Halifax. You know, we're talking Moncton, Fredericton, place like Sydney, Nova Scotia, or something like that too, would be huge. So I'd imagine the CPL is also playing some sort of a role in these talks, saying if you're good enough in this league, you can come to the CPL. But yeah, Dino Rossi has done an exceptional job, and he's so valuable to have in the Canadian soccer world. I'm so glad we have him, because, you know, if you look at growth soccer, it starts at the grassroots, and a lot of these League One teams are grassroots. So the chance of that pipeline, it only expands, and he's played a role.
And about there's always a lot of good big teams for that League One Canada, I've heard. So the Prairies, there was a possibility that Thunder Bay Chill would be in there. There was announced that FC Manitoba was going to be in that discussion for it. And I don't know what the other ones that were actually announced to be in there, but I think that the confirmed one was FC Manitoba would be in that League One Prairies. But Dino Rossi did say about Thunder Bay Chill being part of it. So
Yeah.
that's a question. If Thunder Bay Chill will be in there.
Yeah, I think he suggests the possibility of it. But Thunder Bay Chill would be excellent to have within the Canadian soccer pyramid in some way. I mean, you know, we don't want to talk about good markets, but I feel like that is a market that seems to be built for a League One team that could support it well. Having Thunder Bay in the Prairies League would be a bit strange, but obviously it'd be quite the away day for, say, like, you know, Electric City from Peterborough to go all the way to Thunder Bay for a League One Ontario game. But yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I don't see why not. They could say that USL League Two is currently a higher level than like an expansion League One league, but you know, we'll see in the next couple of years. Maybe it's not, right? Maybe League One has surpassed USL League Two in a couple of years, so Thunder Bay chooses to join the Canadian pyramid.
You all, so the other teams, like how you've mentioned Simcoe Rovers and the other League One Canada teams that have a good potential to being in the CPL. And I've mentioned second division. Is there a possibility? Do you think there is a possibility for promotion relegation?
I think there definitely is. And I think if there are truly 15 groups interested in CPL, if the CPL grows a lot, I could totally see that. And I think it's more of a thing where just there it wouldn't be so sustainable to have, you know, in MLS you got what, 30 teams in it, no promotion relegation. It feels like that can work in a way, just because, you know, it's America, the sporting infrastructure is a lot better. I think here you've got to ease into it a bit more, and I feel like in terms of supporting a first division team, maybe there's only, if we're talking about 16 teams in the CPL one day, maybe only 8 or 9 or 10 of those could actually have like a big infrastructure. Because if you're not the first and second tier, you want to have a kind of a clear definition between the top and the second. You look at Luton Town making the Premier League, and obviously they had to do a lot to build up their stadium again. And I just feel like you want to avoid those situations, but you know, we'll see. I could see 16 teams in the first of it, but at the same time, the CPL could definitely have a lot of news and buzz around it if it was to become, I believe it would be the first, like, out of USA and Canada, the first professional, like fully professional league to have pro rel. They're doing in League One next year. I think if the CPL did it, that would be quite the quite the moment, because I'm sure a lot of people would want to cover that. You look at, you know, in England, in other places in Europe, when these second tier teams have the chance to get promoted, like the buzz around that, the atmosphere it creates, you know, it's more than just winning the league. It's the next year you're guaranteed just have more of everything, right? I think it would be amazing if we had that. One day I know there will be that. I don't know how soon it is, but I'm definitely hoping that it happens in Canada.
Yeah, and right now we're seeing a lot of popularity in this league. Almost 500,000 attendees in there, he announced. Now he has not confirmed all the merch or how much that the league profited on, but it's getting there. It's getting there to see how competitive this league is, and I like how he's doing.
It would definitely be interesting to hear about merch sales, jersey sales. Which player has the most sold jerseys, I think, would be another interesting an interesting metric. But I think there's been a lot more transparency from the CPL this year. It's not as much as I'd hope, but a lot more transparency with the attendance. I still would love to know viewership numbers on One Soccer. I think we should know that, or some people, in the public should know that. But it is getting better, and hopefully there's a day where we the One Soccer numbers are big enough to publish. I don't really know what's holding them back from doing that, but yeah, merch sales would be another one. Everything's going in the right direction.
Yeah, and also one of the biggest hot topics during his media exchange is York United's ownership. That's one of them.
Yeah, that was, I think, probably the biggest piece of news. And it's not just because of someone who covers York, but the CPL, before they focus on getting other teams, they need to focus on their pre-existing teams, growing their pre-existing teams to a healthy level that will enable them to expand to other markets. If two teams folded in 2 years, 15 ownership groups are not going to want to buy into this league. So it's great that they have ownership of York United. He said within 30 days they'll announce it. So I'm hoping that's sooner rather than later. I believe he announced that on October 27th. So pretty much November 27th is the last day where they can announce that. I believe that they should be able to. I don't there's no really kind of what has to be done between now and then, because as far as I know, they have owners who have agreed, who have signed all of that. So maybe they're working on the press release. Maybe the owners are working on making some sort of appearance at the stadium. I'm not sure. I don't really know, but that was huge, and I can't see why an ownership group really wouldn't want to buy York, although attendance has been struggling. The roster on the field, the on-field product has never been as good as it is right now for the club. It's a Toronto team on a lower price, which is huge.
Yeah, and as noticed, I've to be honest, I've been going to when I see York United, and every single time, it has some highs and lows into the franchise of how the atmosphere of the fans of where you see it goes to. Bring in the popularity, and as noticed, you have the attendees of what they average, which was I think 1,200 fans of attending average, and their lowest was 600 fans. That's not a good look into one match of it, and I still see good potential in York United. They do have. They're really good at competing, which, as noticed, they went to twice into the playoffs for 2023, and I keep on forgetting.
2021.
Yes, 2021. And to be honest, I went to see that key matchup for Atletico Ottawa and York United, which basically was the decider who is going to be the fifth team for the playoffs. That which was outstanding to see that some of these fans that didn't want to go to a York United game maybe should focus on seeing the caliber of this team. Is it a good market? And
Exactly. Yeah, I remember seeing you there. It was good to see. A lot of people show up. From the podcast side, from the fan side. It felt like a very big kind of event for a CPL regular season game. And yeah, the match was outstanding. And I don't think the attendance number was ever posted, which is a real shame because I'm pretty confident that it was around 2,000 people, which I think the only higher attendance than that this year would have been the Canadian Championship game versus the Whitecaps. But yeah, all the fans are treated to a great match of football, and that goal by Kevin Dos Santos at the end, it's huge. You know, it's a banner moment for the club, I think, in my opinion. That's something no matter how many years moved on will be from that, everyone will look back and remember that goal and remember where they were, especially if they're at the stadium, because that was a truly incredible moment for the club that I think proved itself. It got a lot of, I think, respect after that, especially with a lot of traveling Ottawa fans, but a lot of York fans there too, which was great to see. So yeah, that last game was something special.
Also, got to see York United going to Halifax when they, which they won 2-1.
Yeah, they love playing in Halifax. I think they're unbeaten in their last three games there, which is pretty crazy considering no team is like remotely close to that. York won both games in Halifax this year, and no other team won both games there, which is so that's pretty outstanding. They're road warriors for sure. They love playing on the road. They love spoiling the party. They love having any type of atmosphere, no matter who the crowd's cheering for, any type of atmosphere, it pushes them on. It gets them motivated to silence a crowd. They really like doing that. There's a lot of guys who just, you know, are so good at just proving it, and no matter the game or who they're playing.
Yeah, and for the whole ownership, the whole York United ownership, we could go back to it, is that the previous owners is that was on a project to try to go for to make a project with the Woodbine, to at the Woodbine racetrack to make a stadium there, and now the whole project just fell apart. Which
Well, I mean, it's an interesting situation. I don't have much insight into it at the moment, but I think the Bald Stars leaving was it certainly didn't help. And we'll see, the new owners might say, we don't want Woodbine. We want a much more like centralized location closer to the city, which, you know, I could see that being the case. Based on what I know, though, what people said, it's, you know, the Bald Stars are, you know, some of the top real estate people in the GTA. They didn't have much in it. It was more of a Woodbine thing, I think, preparing for the 2026 World Cup. They wanted that to be a practice center for, you know, one of the teams, which would have been a huge draw. They're building a big casino there. They have a lot of plans as to how they can kind of reinvent a horse racing track. So, I'd imagine that they're still interested. They just haven't had anyone from the York side to talk to about it, which obviously that's gonna stall a lot of things. But if I'm the new owners, given that that is still on the table because there's still renderings of it from the 6-5 Sports and Entertainment group that owns Pacific and Vancouver FC, you know, they built a stadium. They made a stadium building company. I think they're still involved. It's definitely interesting to watch, but it's definitely still on the table, which I think is big.
Yeah, and Mark Noonan also tried to even also say trying to bring in high class ownership for it into it is and this is a big question. Who are you trying to get for a world class ownership for York United?
Yeah, you know, it's I personally, I don't know, you know, in the CPL's books right now, who is world class, who is isn't. I personally, I wouldn't really know what they would define as that, but I have a strong feeling that it's not an Ottawa situation where there's a European club buying into the CPL. I really don't think it's that. That's not the gist I'm getting from this, because I don't know if Noonan would consider that world class. Is it really world class if a big European team is just opening up a club and using their brand and all their riches? Is that world class, or is it world class to have a ownership group that's not a club, is it, you know, world class if it's people just buying into football but with an experienced resume, you know, outside of sports or just outside of soccer, if there's maybe, you know, an ownership group from a hockey team or a baseball team, we'll see. But I imagine when he says world class, he means just people who have a name and are committed to growing the team.
Like for example, that York United used to be called York 9 FC, and they decided we have to make a rebrand of the team. So, and they decided York United. So, that is what fans do struggle with. Is there going to be a new rebrand of the team name if you're going to bring in a world-class ownership from Europe or anyone who owns another soccer team that has the team name of that they represent?
You know, it, I mean, you know, the branding and the marketing is something else. It's definitely its own whole podcast topic because it can be a bit strange at times. Is this a Toronto team? Is it a York Region team? Is it just a Vaughan team? Like, no one really knows. And I've got to imagine if I was a new owner, I think you can keep the colors, you can keep most elements of the crest, but maybe you call it Toronto something else. Maybe you call it like Toronto United. Maybe it's a subtle change like that, but more people suddenly feel like, you know, as oh, there's a Toronto team, like let's support it. York is just, it's not, you know, the people who know about it and love it, but a lot of people just wouldn't really know where that is. I feel like in Toronto, like, oh, okay, York, are they doing that because they're, you know, in York, or are they doing that because that's the old name for the city of Toronto? You know, do they play in the GTA? Do they play in Toronto? And no one really knows. It doesn't help that York Lions Stadium isn't really either in terms of location. So definitely some things need to be done. I think a permanent stadium would be great. Something that is built around the club and maybe a move somewhere just closer to the city or in the city. You know, there's got to be a place where they would be able to do that, able to renovate a place. You know, I think Lamport, if that is some serious work needs to be done on it, but if that work is done, it could be a prime time location. I think if these owners are deep pocketed, you've got to look at that and say, well, you know, here's an opportunity to go right downtown. We will see, but I think if they were to rebrand in any way, they've got to keep some of the elements of this. But I think having Toronto in the name would be very beneficial.
Well, if you want to, like, if there was a time that if they wanted to have a rename of the team, like there's also, for example, well, you can't have North Toronto because there's already a League One Ontario team called the North Toronto Nitros. Mm-hmm. So could be a Toronto County, maybe.
Yeah, well, you know, that would be an interesting one. They could, they could go for a more like Ontario based name, something like that. I mean, Toronto, we'll see. Could they rival Toronto FC? Probably not. But if they at least name the team Toronto, move somewhere like that's really in Toronto, maybe we're talking about the situation where they are able to equal it, equal TFC, go right on head to head with them. I don't think it would be a bad thing. It would be an experiment, but I don't think it would be a bad thing.
Well, like I get the whole thing of York United, why the whole thing York was to represent the whole York region, and it's mostly you're still like near Mississauga. You're still in the area in, you're in North York. And also, it does have that meaning of the name York, because you're representing some of the areas of York. And if you decide to say that, oh, we're going to go to an area, relocate to an area like, for example, Vaughan, or maybe, for example, Etobicoke for is maybe one of them. I would say that maybe you would have to represent like the city name at this point, but there's always going to be like, if the ownership has a great project going on to make a stadium for them, it'll be still fine for it. And I think the supporters should consider in accepting it. If you're looking at right now, supporter groups really are in this whole thing of panic of who's going to be the ownership, you question if it's relocation. You have to, I think it has to fall, you have to agree with it at this point, but some fans will not.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the issue transitioning from York 9 to York United. People did leave. People felt this was no longer their club. And I think, I
It
mean,
was one supporters group.
it was one supporters group, but it was a pretty sizable supporters group that that really brought an atmosphere. It's a lot different now, to say the least, at York Lions Stadium. But, you know, if they move to a place like Etobicoke, I think you've got to stick it out with the name York United and just see how that works. And for whatever reason, if that doesn't work, even though you're right in a place where a lot of people, instead of York University, were not the most amount of people, you know, maybe you consider a change to being called Etobicoke. But I think it has to be a marginal change, like at this point, a very small change to the colors or badge or name, because you can't do a full-scale rebrand again in under 10 years. That's just, it's not sustainable at all. It's the last thing anyone at the club would want. In terms of not even just fans, people working at the club, they don't want to have to do that again. Like, that was tough enough one time, and coming out of that, it's been hard. I think a relocation would be something that would be a lot easier than to reinvent the club yet again. And you can reinvent the club around a relocation, as long as it is still in and around Toronto.
Like imagine like the ownership decided we're gonna relocate to Edmonton. Would you be shocked about that?
I would be definitely shocked, and I'd expect immediate move right back from the CFPL to say, like, hold on, hold your horses there. Like, we can't do this. You certainly can't do this. But I mean, it depends how much influence these owners really have, because if they do have experience, if they have influence, maybe they can get away with something like that, which I think is the scary thing with this. If they're, you know, told big shots, you know, from Europe or elsewhere, and they see that as the case, and like the CPL, can they just give it up? Give up another franchise? I don't know, but based on what Noonan has said, I think it's going to stay in Toronto. And if they moved it somewhere completely else, then they would have to be right back in Toronto soon enough with one of the expansion teams. I mean, it's as simple as that. They need a team here.
Yeah, you make a good point about that. It would be shocking about it, and I think I would still say, I think the Toronto area does need a team. It does need a team. Maybe it would be a good one. Maybe even expand into like one of the greater Toronto areas. It is
Yeah.
great market.
It's a great market, and it is a football mad market. I mean, you look the amount of people, immigrating to Toronto. A lot of them are from backgrounds where in their countries, football is king. And I feel like that has to be, that has to be. I mean, exploited sounds like a pretty evil word for it, but I think that has to be exploited a little bit. Having, a lot of new people coming to the city who love football, who live and die by football. I think having more teams, a team in Etobicoke, a team in Mississauga, maybe a team for like both those places at one time, I think would be pretty beneficial. I can't see why not. I think Ontario's got to be one of the top places for the CPL going forward.
Well, let's see how the Canadian Premier League improves in the future. And that's full time for the Red League Card. I'm your host, Jacob, subbing out.